it, do we think this show is terrible? Right, I invited you on because you were the first person who, you were really ahead of the curve and everyone's saying that this show is not good. It's very mediocre. So you're like, you had first adopter rights, and I thought I had to get Birdcraft on the podcast to talk about why Master of None is anything but great.
Well, you're lucky. I mean, I didn't even know that it was coming out. I didn't know that he was doing anything. Like, after I, like, looked some stuff up, I realized that, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, he has, like, a Netflix special. He's writing a book, and then he just did this. He's, like, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, like, I don't really think so. And
disagree. Have you read his book?
No, I didn't even know that he had a book. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, I just logged on. I was alone the entire weekend, opened up Netflix, saw his face and a new series, and Netflix original series have, like, yet to disappoint me. So I...
You obviously haven't watched Marco Polo, then.
No, I haven't.
Or have you watched season 2 of Peaky Blinders?
Oh, fuck no. I only watched, like, 5 episodes of the first season.
That's pretty far. That's farther than I got, which is none. I can't get past the title. It's insane. Peaky Blinders, it sounds like a parody of a British saying. An actual one. What is a Peaky Blinder? Is it, like, someone who throws soot in your face and, like, I don't know, is cheeky about it?
It's just, like, a hunky gangster from the Tommy.
A hunky gangster? Is Cillian Murphy hunky? He's more peaky.
Okay.
He's peaky.
Fine.
Okay, but back to Master of None. What would you say before we, like, talk about why we don't like it? What was your favorite part of it? What was the things that you thought did well?
My favorite part, I think I liked
Paro, the seal.
Yes, I.
Paro, I was very big on.
It's like a huge Furby.
It looked like pseudo-sexual when they first introduced him. Like, what sort of pervy shit is this grandpa up to?
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't seen the show, there's
VA.
Like a...
The VA definitely did not give that to him.
No. Paro.
But I think I liked that each episode was like an idea, like a big idea.
Each episode was like an undergraduate writing assignment where you have to talk about a theme of, like, understanding your parents or male feminism or how tough long-term relationships are.
Right. And I liked that because it, like, if you're just, like, watching Netflix like a dummy and you don't even know what to do, so I'm like, I guess I'm going to try this out. It gives me, like, a little bit of, like, structure as to what I'm watching. But, like, because I really went into it, like, sort of blindly, like, what is this going to be about? I thought it was going to be, like, another type, like, more like
Park
a Broad
Rec.
City, I thought it was going to be.
Like a Broad City?
Yeah. Like,
I
thought he was going to have, like, a dumb friend, and he was going to do dumb shit that I wasn't going to laugh at. And
instead he did semi-intelligent shit that you didn't laugh at.
Right. He, like, tried really hard.
It's really a try-hard loser show.
Yeah.
I love the title sequence. I think it's very handsome and attractive.
Me too.
Like, you get a different song every time, which is a really nice change.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, we talked about the score a little before we recorded, but the score was fine. And I think the love interest is at least a character to which they pay respect to, and she isn't like a tertiary, secondary concern. Like, she gets, you feel like you know her a little bit.
Oh, I just care less about her.
Yeah, even if I didn't necessarily like her, and she just sort of seemed, they like rounded out her life. Like, you went to meet her grandma. It wasn't like she was there just for Aziz to learn a lesson.
Right, yeah, that's true. I mean, but
I wouldn't watch the Rachel spinoff, but I can understand if it existed, like her as a record executive PR person.
Yeah, a dumbass job.
Definitely fake.
I hate her job, and I hated the grandma episode.
Oh, the grandma episode is terrible. It's also terrible on a logistical level because they say the grandma lives in Queens. Then he takes her to that red sauce Italian restaurant that's in Williamsburg. Like, you're never going to get an escaped grandma all the way to Williamsburg with no one noticing.
Yeah, they even said the Bronx. That's even further. It wasn't in Queens. It was the Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx. Right. I'm giving them more credit than they're due.
Yeah.
If you could get a grandma from the Bronx to Williamsburg without her dying, it's impossible. The show is unrealistic.
Well, they did lose her.
Oh, they do lose her. That's right. Oh, that entire sequence blew my mind and nearly made me stop watching the show entirely. Because what?
So annoying.
How did she show up on the stage of a jazz club? Like, was that her plan all along?
Yeah.
What kind of hoops did she have to jump through?
Still, like, into it. Like, why? She fell one time. Get her a life alert and let her still live home. Like, this lady is not ready for this home.
She's obviously completely cognizant and fine. She can
go,
she can eat red sauce and sing jazz in the same night and coordinate the entire thing herself through, like, subconscious manipulation of this stranger. It's really impressive.
I know. I did laugh, though, when he was, like, distracting the aide. And he's, like, pretending that, like, he read about another nursing home that, like, the aides were, like, drop-kicking the
pile-driving and suplexing. Yeah.
He's, like, making up names for old people. Like, take this, Agnes, and I don't know.
Yeah. But I feel like that's a good moment to, like, talk about because I feel as if the show didn't exactly know what it was. It did a lot of, like, we're going to stretch this joke so long because he does talk about that fake retirement village for almost, like, 3 straight minutes and doing all the pile drivers and stuff. And that felt like, to me, it didn't belong in the show. It felt like it belonged in, like, Family Guy or something.
Yeah.
And while I laughed maybe the first 10 times, and then it never circled back to being.
I know, it seemed like, all right, you don't have to do it with 15 fucking people.
But once, like, you can, but as long as you go up to, like, 25, and then it's ridiculous and funny again. But it seemed like it stuck in a middle ground. She never tried to do one of those type of jokes. If you had to pick a favorite episode, though, what would your favorite be? Nashville?
Oh, my God, stop.
Or should you say
no.
Red Hook, Brooklyn?
First of all, why? I'm just, like, trying to picture myself being like, hey, Sam, this guy who, like, I remember that guy that, like, got me pregnant and, like, I took, like, the Plan B pill. Like, yeah, I'm meeting up with him again.
We need to talk about the Plan B pill, too, but continue with this line of sentence.
Well, I was going to get back with so-and-so, but then I didn't. So, like, now I'm going to text this guy and see if he still wants to hang out. And he does. And, like, he wants to take me to Nashville. Should I go? Like, fuck no.
You're going to be murdered.
That doesn't make any sense. And even if I did go, even if I found, like, a little bit of, like, trust in that, so, like, dude, I'm not even going to go meet somebody, like, in the Bronx. I'm like, no, you come to Bushwick. Like, doesn't make any sense. And I feel like her character is so much less, not that I'm not adventurous or anything, but, like, she just seems, like, a little reserved to me. I just don't picture her saying yes to getting on a plane with a somewhat stranger and going to Nashville.
She did suggest that they have sex in the chair. She's a wild and crazy girl.
She is wild.
Until the chair sex was stale.
Then they got bored of the chair.
Then they have to buy a juicer. What does he buy her? Like a dildo or something?
No,
he
bought her the pillow.
The pillow. The wedge pillow. Jesus Christ. And the change of, like, the timeline of that episode was insane to me because I thought he was buying her the wedge pillow after they were dating for a week. And then for a year. It was like psychotic. I was like, what happened? Was there a flash forward episode I didn't see where, like, Paru dies and the grandma is, like, opens her own jazz club? What happened?
I don't know.
Crazy. My favorite episode would probably be the last episode One, because it ended this terrible season of the show, and two, because the place that it was going to seemed so much zanier and more fun than the 10 episodes I just watched, where he, like, is going to Italy to become a pasta chef. That's crazy. But also...
That's ridiculous. That's very annoying. I don't like that.
You don't like that. I like it because it gives, like, if the rest of the show is him becoming the world's most successful pasta chef, I might be more down for that than I am for this, like, lesson teaching, full
right.
house
so,
style.
Like, the whole show is trying to be like, oh, let's get down to the nitty gritty and like stop having so many options. It's so much harder to make a decision when we have all these options. Okay, so the option that you choose when your girlfriend breaks up with you and you're not really sure what to do is to go to Italy and become a pasta maker? I don't see how, like, he might as well, I don't know.
It struck me as a brave artistic choice. Back to the plan B, though. Who the fuck goes out after immediately after having sex to buy the plan B? It's literally called the morning after pill. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. It's as if the baby's going to be born in the middle of the night and have to raise it.
Well, I guess they weren't, the moment was gone. They didn't want to, like, cuddle. They had to do it then and there, because then they were saying goodbye to each other for the night. They weren't going to, like, go to sleep. They weren't drunk enough, I guess. I don't know. And, like, what's wrong with her? At first, she's, like, sort of, like, fighting it. She's like, oh, pre-cum? No. It's fine. It's totally fine. Like, what do you mean? He's saying, if there's, like, at least, like, an ounce of doubt that, like, uh-oh, then you have to go get that pill. I don't understand why she would be like...
Also, what 29-year-old single girl is not on birth control in New York City? Like, you could sit on a toilet seat and get pregnant. There's cum everywhere. MTA buses, the bus seats are, like, 60% cum.
Ew.
This girl's supposed to be a modern woman.
Okay, but some people don't...
I guess she did have the condo. Maybe she has bad reactions to birth control, and I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But I think we're giving Rachel character too much to do.
What?
I should also say that it's important, I think, that the show, almost all the main characters are not white people in New York City. Which every other show about New York City is entirely about white people.
Yeah.
Does it make enough out of that? I don't believe so. I think if you made most of those characters white, it wouldn't make any difference.
Right.
Which is an issue.
But that's to say that, like, when they're not white, they are different. So I don't think that that's necessarily what's important about it. I just think that... like you said, they're uninteresting. They're not, like...
They're certainly uninteresting. Half the show is either them sitting in a dim restaurant talking about... It's not even like Seinfeld talking about nothing, that, like, the minutia begins to become, like, interesting in an entire world. It's, like, talking about minutia in the least engaging way possible. It's, like, talking about Yelp reviews for so long. And while I understand that's relatable... I don't think it's engaging or smart or, like, talking about why Yelp reviews are important.
Right.
Just, like, this is something we do. That's it. And that's where, like, I think the observation ends.
Yeah.
I do look at Yelp reviews. They're great.
I know. I don't. I hate Yelp.
Have you ever written a Yelp review?
Fuck no.
I've written one about a nightclub that... kicked some of my friends out, and I said I was going to go home and write a mean Yelp review, and I was drunk, and I did it. And that nightclub was shut down the next day.
I like that you're saying nightclub.
What do you want me to say, discotheque? I was at a discotheque with some of my compadres.
I don't know. What nightclub were you at?
See, we already laughed more than we did at Master of None at my hilarious nightclub usage. So we said all the amazing things about the show. Well, let's talk about why it sucks. What was the worst episode for you? His murder proposition, where he takes her to Nashville and doesn't skin her alive and wear her?
Sort of. But, okay, it's obviously apparent that he's bringing, like, racism in Hollywood to his television show, right?
Definitely.
So why is everything so forced? Like, how come it just, he had the conversation, back to the old people episode when he goes to visit the grandma. He's like really disrespectful to the grandma from the jump. He's like, oh, hey, Grandma Carol, like, fuck off, mister. Like, let her, like, say hi to you first anyway. But then he says, like, oh my God, wow, like, he seems really nice. I'm, like, really happy for you. Doesn't show, like, a bit of racism. So it proved him wrong a little bit, which, like, already would have proved the audience wrong because he already had a conversation with Rachel about how he maybe thought that Grandma was going to judge him for being brown. And she was like,
Sure.
well, I don't know. Let's go see. And then Grandma doesn't. And then he says to Grandma, oh, wow, I'm really surprised that, like, you weren't taken aback by my color or, like, one of those racist old people. And, like, what? Why did you have to say that to her face? I told her that was very weird.
I thought that that was at least self-aware of how he is in his own way, like a very presumptuous American, just like racists are. And he also jumped to conclusions, and that colored it a little. But I mean, certain the part that's like most problematic to me in terms of how it deals with race is when they're at the wedding, and it's Rachel and Dev, I guess is the character's name, and then I think the bride or groom's dad comes up to them and asks her what it's like to date an ethnic, and that is a conversation that would never one never in a million years happen. And two is like illustrating your is coloring like so broadly in terms of like if you're going to talk about racism, it's like obviously systemic racism and not like overt racist uncle on Facebook racism. And it's just like very lazy in terms because it's much more subtle than that when it is pernicious. And to have this uncle basically come up and like talking out of the antebellum South, which is like an ethnic, it's like ludicrous. And it discredits his argument, which is, you know, the correct argument to make. The worst episode, though, I think it might be the either the relate like the second to last episode where they're like in the relationship over 10 years and they're like in love and then just fighting all the time and there's no sort of in between. It seems like it was just like let's show how hard relationships are, and I never really it was so hard for me to gauge whether they were supposed to be together or not to be together. Maybe that's the effect they were going for, but I couldn't
In
tell by
one
the,
episode.
like I was like totally fine if they if she was never in the show again, which I think is a problem.
I don't care about her at all. She annoys me.
She can go for you. I might
Yeah,
have
she
more
can
respect
go.
for Rachel than you do.
She's going to Tokyo. Let her do it. That's great.
But is there
I think that her reaction to, you know, the little fight that they had with, like, what percentage are you in this relationship? And, like, you know, she left and then came back and said, you know, I'm fucking getting out of here because, like, what are we doing? We're just gonna get married. Back to that wedding scene. We're just gonna
What
get
a
married.
horrifying, cynical view of relationships that scene presented. I was like, is this how you really feel? Which I think we're gonna get, I might get to this later, but I think it's a huge problem for Aziz Ansari, especially with like his book that he wrote about how difficult it is to be like, how difficult romance is in the modern age. But he's been dating the same person for like 4 years, and I don't know why he's branded himself as this like matchmaker, like specialist on romance in the in modern times when it's not true to his life. The only thing that seemed true to his life was his ridiculous apartment in Master of None, which is like a $10 million brownstone.
It's so nice.
It's ridiculous. It's nice. It's nicer than like.
Audrey has a nice apartment too.
Yeah, their apartments are
Sprawling
ridiculous.
library in there.
Paro has his own wing in Artie's apartment. It's insane. And then there's the one exchange that Aziz has with his parents where he's like, what do you want me? Do you think I'm going to find an apartment this cheap again? It's like, how is that
I'm
apartment
like,
possibly cheap?
this fucking Go-Gurt commercial really set you for life.
Go-Gurt. It's just yogurt. I also hate the episode where him and Brian, his Asian American friend, discover that they've never asked their parents about like how they came here.
No, that episode
is insane.
It's so insane. So you're this Asian bro is the first person to like just spark a little curiosity about your parent, your loving parents. Dev is a brat, and he's like
certainly a brat.
Just because he's aware that he's a brat, and he thinks that because he's aware he's a brat, it's okay to be a brat because like his dad doesn't understand things and he doesn't have like the patience to explain it. But I don't know. I hate the Asian.
They do it multiple times too. They also do it with Artie's grandfather who dies. There's like multiple times in the season where it's like old people are cool. I wouldn't be surprised if like an old person just like skateboarded up to them one day with like a backwards hat on and just joined the crew and they just had like an old person in it. That wouldn't surprise me. Maybe next season in Italy.
That'd be cute.
You would support that over Rachel if Dev entered into a homosexual relationship with a cool older man. A leftover character from Looking. Oh, we should maybe talk about Looking.
I miss Looking.
Looking was probably the best show ever made.
You liked it?
I love Looking.
I don't feel like you would have liked it. Why did it get canceled then if even Carmen likes it?
Every show I like, I only like two shows. They've all been canceled. John from Cincinnati, and that's probably it. All those shows have been canceled.
Oh man.
Some of the good stuff on here. Rachel, we hate. The cast members are boring. Which cast member do you like the best out of Brian, Denise, and Artie? If you could write and direct a spinoff starring one of those characters, what would it be titled? Who would it be?
It would be...
You're taking too long. This is called Dead Air in a podcast.
Okay.
I would choose Denise.
I could care less about the other two. Even though Arnold is annoying, he has the most effect on me.
Arnold does have the most... while we're on the subject of Arnold, what is the scene where Arnold and Rachel are going to buy the desk?
Ew! No, the house.
And he sees a mouse, and he starts screaming and dancing. Do you remember this scene?
Oh, no.
So, Rachel and Arnold, I don't know why they teamed up. It's like the C storyline. They're going to buy something off Craigslist, and he's like, oh, I'll talk him up, and you talk him down. Do you remember this?
Yeah, they go and get the couch.
They go and get the couch, right, and he's like lounging on it. But before they do that, when they're on the way to the guy's apartment, he sees a mouse, and he starts screaming and hiding behind her. You remember this?
I don't remember the mouse part, no.
It's fucking nuts. Anyway, that was when the show, it was just like I knew that it was crazy. I was in another universe if people were liking it, because I assure you this scene happened. I stood up and talked to them. Actually, well, I guess I was watching it with my dog, so it might not have happened. But anyway.
I feel they might have, like, planned that, though, like, him and Rachel, to, like, you be crazy so we could talk down this Craigslist or eBay seller.
Oh, no, the mouse scene is before they, like, scheme, and then he just ends up really liking the couch.
Oh. I have
the big issue with the show is that everyone on it is this, like, disgusting materialist glutton who just, like, only thinks about food. Do any of them have jobs? I guess Denise has a job, right?
I guess she seems the most busy.
Like, everyone in New York is like has a job. And, like, I feel like girls and this show just completely ignore the facts, except, I guess, when Lena Dunham goes to Grumpy's. But, like, yeah, why does no one have a job? Does Artie have a job, or is he living off the inheritance from his dead grandfather?
I guess, no, I don't think that he has a job. Rachel
what
has
What is Denise's job? Does she work for, like, a magazine or something?
I don't even remember.
I know they go to a work party with her, right?
Fuck. I already blacked all this stuff out. I feel like I rewatched the last episode because
okay.
I think that was my favorite one, too, and I, like, was, like, picking it apart a little bit when I knew that we were going to talk about this. But
sure.
Even rewatching it, I was like, I don't even remember seeing that. Because I think I was just
if
so
you
bored,
don't remember the mouse scene, what show are you watching?
I don't know. Maybe I fell asleep.
I'm glad I picked you to come on then. Okay, you've already decided. Wait, who are you going to make the show about, did you decide? Artie. So, if you had to fuck, marry, kill Artie, Brian, or Denise, who would it be?
I'm killing Brian.
Brian's got to go.
Yeah, Brian has to go. I guess I will bang a lesbian.
Okay.
Get it over with and marry Artie because then I can just kind of like do my own thing, live in that flowing apartment and like.
Pet Paro all night?
Yeah, just see what happens.
He gave up Paro so easily. Like, the show was
yeah.
so done with Paro, they obviously, like, only rented it and could only use it for so many days. Cause, like,
wait a minute. Also, why did Arnie have a kite that got
wait,
stuck in a tree?
His name is Arnie? Or Artie?
His name is Arnold. I think it's Arnie.
Okay, Arnie. He has a kite stuck in a tree. Now, I can't remember this scene. You need to remind me of it.
when they want to leave the grandpa's house, they're like, Dev is
oh,
like...
Oh, his excuse is that he has a kite stuck in the tree, right?
Yeah, so I thought that was just like, you know, a silly excuse. But then at the funeral, the dad's like, so, is your kite still stuck? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, son, like, we'll get you a new kite. And, like, there was no laughter or anything. And that's another pet peeve of mine. Like, not just this show, but, like, all shows that are like this. I don't even – is it a sitcom? I don't even know what it is.
It is a sitcom, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
There is situational comedy. I guess the situation is – well, I think you're supposed to assume that the grandfather called the dad – and died afterward and told him about the kite.
Actually told him that the grandson's kite, he was
yes.
so distraught.
I believe that's the logic jump you're supposed
Cause
to make.
Cause of death.
Obviously, it didn't work on you.
No.
Situational
but,
comedy. Did you think he actually had a kite somewhere?
Yeah. He's screaming at mice, like you say, so why wouldn't he have a kite in New York as a grown adult male?
That's totally justifiable. What he does is dance and scream at mice.
But what I don't get, and I actually, like, talked about this with somebody, Sam, obviously.
Sam Takeon, former podcast guest.
Sam Takeon.
We'll link to episode 2 if you want.
Nobody laughs in TV. Like, these are all friends that are, like you said, constantly at this dim-lit restaurant talking about nothing. But it's, like, nothing for them, but it seems like it's what they want to talk about. So how come they're, like, not humoring themselves and, like, laughing with each other? Like, that's what's, like, unrelatable sometimes even with, like, a bunch of shows. How come friends don't laugh together?
No one is happy. In this world, it seems if no one is happy. Everyone
yeah.
is miserable. I do.
Like, none of them have jobs.
Well, that's it. They're alienated from the process of production. Like, I assume there will be a season 2. What would you want to see besides him becoming a pasta maker? All his friends die?
No, because I'm trying to stay positive.
No, an optimist. That's good.
I want to see. I guess, like, the racism in Hollywood portrayed a little better, like, what, how they try to. I thought it was, like, very good that they brought up the fact that some, like, executive said, there can't be two Indians, because that's fucked up.
Definitely.
But, when he goes to the audition and the lady says, like, all right, like, read your part, and he doesn't read it in a Hindi or Hindu accent, she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, why do I have to? Like, that to me is a little bit bold, because, like, I feel like the casting lady would have said to him, like, this is how it was written.
Right.
This isn't racist. This is what the writer wrote in the script. It's somebody with an Indian guy with an accent. It's not, I didn't just, like, want to cast somebody with brown skin. He's, like, putting his own racism in his anti-racism.
Sure. That's a good point.
He just, like, he could have then went for any role. He didn't have to go for the role of the Indian guy. If there's a role for an Indian guy, that, to me, assumes that there's, like, some sort of, like, culture. It's not an American, an immigrant, or a first-generation Indian. It's one with an accent.
As we said, he's a very presumptuous character.
Yeah.
The show would possibly be more interesting if it was just set, like, in the film industry, like Extras is, and he was an actor basically just, like, going on. Because I think the least interesting aspect of the show is this, like, slice of life New York part of it. Like, I think it's so trite and stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
And completely divorced from any reality that I think someone who's in their late 20s in New York is, like, living.
Right.
Like, do they even drink a beer during the entire show?
No, they go to 169 Bar and they try and get one, but the bartender doesn't help them.
Yes. Like, why do I want to watch a show about four utterly boring, insane people who are, like, straight edge? Like, worrying about taco trucks and juicers. Like, I couldn't give a fuck.
And pasta makers.
Oh,
and
pasta
sex pillows.
Oh, how insane is the sequence when he makes the pasta? It's like softcore porn.
I know.
He, like, puts on
I want that, though. It
looks
good.
Oh, the pasta looked amazing. That's why I was so excited about him becoming a pasta chef. The show
I kind of like it. The only reason I like it is because I feel like that's, like, true Aziz. He probably, like, really, really likes pasta in real life.
Totally. But is there anything less, like, a less original opinion to have than food is good?
Like, yeah, food, I know.
Food is good? No shit. What nuance is there in that?
Right.
I'm a person who actually doesn't even like to eat. It's so dull and ritualistic. I will not be guest starring in Master of None. I'd be like, Aziz, get the fuck over it. Everyone likes food.
You don't like
and,
to eat?
I'm not huge on it. Like, I'll eat whatever. Like, I've never, like, ground my gears to, like, decide where I'm going to eat. I also don't modify any order at any restaurant ever. Like, I won't be, oh, can I get the dressing on the side? No, I order exactly what's on the menu. I minimize the amount of, like, interaction with any sort of food service.
Yeah.
I'm not into the whole deal.
The dressing on the side is, like, not really a modification.
It's too much for me. I hate it. Because there's like a small power play there that I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm an individual, and I'm asserting myself against your the constrictions of your menu.
But it's not their menu, the person that you're interacting with.
Sure. But it's their, like, labor. It's their labor and mind space and, like, energy. You could just be like, oh, I'll have the number 5. Thank you. Here's your money. Goodbye. Instead of, like, this isn't important. Anyway, I'm just saying that it isn't cool. It's fine to like food, but it's like this whole, there's a pizza cult that's been, like, taking over the country. You know what I'm talking about?
Pizza cult?
Yeah, yeah. Like, just like pizza memes.
Yeah, Sam's like, in
it. Internet culture. Yeah, she's fucking in. She's like a pizza tattoo, right?
Yep.
She's a pizza tattoo. She's in the goddamn pizza cult. But I'm saying everyone likes pizza. You're not dividing anyone by saying you like pizza.
Right.
And shows should take a stance, like with him saying that he's not reading in the Hindi accent. Like, that's conflict. There's no conflict in liking food.
Right.
Anything else you want to say? How would you improve the next season?
Improve. I just want to see them laughing, like I said.
All you want to do is see them laughing? I would like the show to be called Master of Pasta and for him to be a pasta maker.
Okay. So are we going to go to Italy or is he coming home?
He should return. The show should be set 10 years in the future and he should return. And
with children?
Yeah, yeah. With Italian, Indian children. All of them pasta makers.
Because what was it, the first or second episode? This actually is when I first realized, oh, fuck, I hate this show, is when he's babysitting the fucking kids.
Oh, my God.
I knew that something was going to happen, and I'm getting all paranoid because, like, I don't want anything to happen, but also nothing would have happened. Like, when the little girl wants to, like, go to the bathroom, and I thought that there was going to, like, he was going to lose her outside of it, or lose the boy when he goes in the bathroom with the girl. But
sure.
No, there has to be a fight outside with the other lady because he skips one in line to ask it to, like, watch the kid and they get all offended. Like, that would never happen.
That would maybe happen. I kind of actually like that exchange. I was more upset about when they play in the playground and the filter turns to black and white and they play, like, French music. And it's, like, literally a bad Louis. Just, like, Louis if it was terrible.
Oh.
He's like,
that didn't even faze me. I was so mad that this boy had to put his dick on the hot dogs in the supermarket. Like, did he really? And then somebody came over and said, like, now you have to buy all these hot dogs. Like, that's
and then,
disgusting.
And then
yeah,
he actually
really
does buy them, right? He spends, like, $300 on the hot dogs.
And then he doesn't even, like, tell the mom. He, like, just goes to his buddy's house because the brat took the buddy's wallet.
They're just horrible people.
Yeah.
That's our advice for next season. The show should have less horribleness in its characters.
Yeah, they were. And, like, where was that house? Like, how come? And, where did that friend come in? How come we never saw that friend again?
I guess they only wanted to pay her for that one episode.
I guess so.
She's like Paru. Her and Paru had the same amount of screen time. I'm done talking about Paru. Let's talk about The Leftovers.
Okay.
So this was a show that I, like, absolutely hated. Like, Master of None is my favorite show compared to the first season of The Leftovers. But now I'm watching the second season. It's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
In pretty exciting ways. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, like we were saying, what is it called when they, like, focus an entire episode on, like, an idea or, like, one person?
A bottle episode.
A what?
A bottle episode.
A bottle?
A bottle.
Okay.
It's like when a whole episode takes place in an elevator or something, that's called a bottle episode.
No, not an elevator, like, when it's all... Okay, well, that isn't what I mean. What is it called when it's, like, based around, like, one idea, like, you were saying?
Oh, like a themed episode?
Right, and how, like, that's what I liked about Master of None, and what I like about The Leftovers is I feel like each episode now is not so just what's going on in everybody's life. It focuses on one idea at a time.
The characterizations are much stronger.
Yes.
And the characters, I think the best part of the show is that the characters are now at liberty to laugh, and they can actually laugh about the ridiculousness of how stupid and dark the show was before. There's, you said you watched the first episode? I'm only on the second episode. I'm working my way through. I eventually want to write about it when it's done, but there's basically a scene in which the Justin Theroux character, his wife and his daughter, basically go around in a circle and say all the dumb shit that they did. Like, he buried a body, she paid prostitutes to hit her, the daughter, like, gave a kid a hand job, and then they just sort of, like, that was dumb, and then they moved to Texas, and that's, like, exactly what has to happen for a show that's that bad.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Wait, I don't
want
to give anything away, then, because what I was going to say that I just realized, since I hated it so much last season, and then I just started watching it this season, I was sort of watching it in the beginning of this season with a little bit of hostility, like, I don't like this. I just like the camera that they use. It's, like, really well done. And
that sounds like me. I hate the title sequence still, but I hate it less than the previous one.
I like this one. It's, like, sort of sad.
It's like a Tumblr video.
Yeah, but it makes me... it makes me, like, understand that it's not just... This didn't just affect the people that we see on the screen.
Sure.
It's, like, the whole everything. And you could put yourself in this situation.
True.
And that's what's good about this season is how much of real life it really feels like now. Like, last season, I felt like it was so sci-fi and, like, weird. And, like, what's with these people in white smoking cigs? I get it's a cult, but, like, why would that happen? Or, like, I'm trying to picture where that would occur in my life if the day that everybody disappeared happened in real life. And I just couldn't picture it at all. And I didn't
sure.
think it was interesting or creative. I just thought it was, like, creepy and dumb.
It's creepy and dumb is right. It's certainly dumb. I don't think it was as creepy as it could have been. It was definitely creepy-ish.
It was just about silent and smoking so much.
It felt half-heartedly strange to me. Like, even the only 2% of people disappearing felt like not enough to me, even though, you know, they magically disappear. Because I guess, like, the allegory you're supposed to jump to is, like, terrorist attack or, you know, some sort of disease that knocks people out. And that these cults, obviously there would be an increased amount of mysticism and belief in God and such, but that it wouldn't be weirder. And I think this episode is super weird because of the setting in the town where no one disappeared. And it basically isn't beholden to the book, which isn't good. Is probably, I think, the best part of it, because the book, I think, is very stupid and underthought.
Did you read the book before it was even a TV show? Or you?
I did. I read the book, I think, like a year before when this TV show was, like, announced. I read the book.
Oh.
I've read, the only other book I've read of his is Little Children, which I think is an excellent movie.
I don't even know who this person is.
His name's Tom Perotta. He wrote, like, Election.
Oh.
Little Children. He writes, like, very dialogue-y books that very easily become movies.
Okay.
That's, like, his thing. All, I think every one of his books has been either made into a movie or has been optioned into a movie. But
cool.
He has better books to read than that.
Yeah.
Little Children is very good.
You read fast. I read slow. I would never pick up The Leftovers, so I'll just watch it.
Sure, I don't blame you. It's a terrible book. We don't have to talk
but
about
it. It's cool now because I'm not going to... This won't give anything away, but...
I don't believe in spoilers either. I regard it in the same way that I regard changing things on menus. Like, I don't give a shit if people tell me the ending to things.
Oh, okay.
Just tell me the end.
This is not really a spoiler. It's just something that I really liked in the show that really came to fruition, like, I think in the last two episodes, where you see, like, a lot, or there's, like, little hints to businesses that were created because of the disappearance. And I think that that makes it, like, really realistic because you know that that would happen.
Yes, totally.
You know that there would be, like, tons of, like, expensive support groups and, like, what is this thing called? Like, the disappearing thing?
The sudden departure.
Oh, yeah, the sudden departure.
Yeah, there would be t-shirts and, you know, memorial stuff.
Yeah, but not even that. Like, there's like a CDC, like the Center of Sudden or Center of some crisis disaster, something like that.
Right, right.
It's totally believable, and that's where Nora works, or worked at least. I still don't really understand why they have the black baby, but I don't care. I think it's cute.
Well, the black baby is the son's kid. Right? That's what it is in the book.
Well, I didn't finish the first season. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The black baby is the son's kid. Or is, no, it's the cult leader. Do you remember the black cult leader?
Yeah.
He knocks up the young girl who the son is then charged with protecting. You remember this? She's pregnant.
Oh.
The son leaves the baby on the steps. Yes, yes.
And then what? And then what?
Together for you?
That she leaves him on the steps of Justin Theroux's son.
The son leaves the baby on the steps of Justin Theroux's house. Does that make sense?
And Justin, and they don't think anything of it. They don't ask any questions. They're just like, oh, his family probably departed, so I'll take care of him.
The mother departed as she was having the baby.
Yeah, what about those stories?
My big issue with the show originally was that you don't see the departure thing. Do you? You don't, right? It starts
after.
Oh, you do. They like there's
yeah.
like clothes and an airplane seat and stuff.
Well, it starts off with the mom in the parking lot putting her groceries in the trunk.
Right.
And then you see there's like a cut to Nora's family where like her kid spills the milk, or on her cell phone that's ringing, and then her
kids
disappear. And then you see like a bunch of other things. Literally just like vanish.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is like if it's supposed to be a 9/11 allegory or something like that, it's good that then they go to this town where there is like a 9/11 memorial center basically with all like the touch screen
yeah.
and the graphics and stuff. Like it strengthens the allegory, whereas before I thought it seemed really lost in terms of what it was trying to convey with the departure.
Yeah.
Like, was it his death or was it obviously a sort of mass death event? And how do we deal with that? Anyway, it's better now. It's fun.
Well, they get to that.
Which part of it?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I've read the book. I know what happens in the first season.
Oh. Well, they say that, like, it was, they're trying now to figure out, like, forget the word they use, like, detectors or something to like figure out if somebody is like a like activated basically, and like if you're around somebody that's like highly activated, there was a better chance of the person or people around you disappearing.
Right.
And,
well,
like,
this is interesting in terms of the Nora character, whose whole family disappeared around her. That's how she sells her house, obviously.
Yeah.
So could
and
these
then,
people who are activating this thing, or I think they say like it's a matter of geography. That's the name of the episode.
Right.
Which
but
is
then apparently
far more
like,
interesting than the bullshit before.
Yeah. But she works for the CDC or whatever it's called, and there's like an episode where she's talking about she worked in like fraud for them or something, so people that would call and be like, yeah, my wife disappeared, but like really like somebody was like in Puerto Rico. And when she
she was like a fraudulent departure person.
Yeah, she would have to like investigate the fraud to see like how much money somebody could get for like their loss or some shit. And she was explaining it to somebody and she said, this is how I know that there's not going to be like another one or something, because if you were taken, you were taken. Like there's not going to, because like people were claiming that like, oh, like everybody thinks that everybody departed on this day at this time, but like my husband's gone and he left last week. Like, it's still happening one by one. And she was like, no. And she had kept catching all the people that were saying that, because like that could be true. How do we know that? Just because
right.
a bunch of people die disappeared on one day, why does it discredit somebody that might have gone an hour later?
Well, that's interesting. I don't think that's in the book either, but at least, I guess, toward the end of the first season, they started to recognize their mistakes.
Yeah.
And remedy that and, like, fill out the world.
Yeah. I like, that helps me, like, relate it more to, like, real life and, like, logic.
Totally. Even
though it doesn't seem very logical, but I like logic.
Logic's great. So we're kind of into the, we're higher on the leftovers than we were. What other show do you recommend for people who don't want to watch Master of None now that we've turned them off to it?
I think that they should watch Derek.
This is a great this is like a great recommendation, because literally I haven't heard anyone either talk or write or even acknowledge that this show exists, and it is very good.
It is so good. And it's not just good because
give
Ricky
a synopsis
Gervais.
Before your it's about Ricky Gervais working in a, basically an old folks home, and he is a person with learning disabilities.
Yes, and he has like the biggest heart and loves animals.
it's an insanely sweet show.
Yes.
And it's one of the few shows that's actually about working class people, which is very fun in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like Master of None is basically about like ruling class post-industrialist monsters who have nothing to do because they don't work and they live in like
so they go out and eat
luxury.
And Google stuff and
yeah,
cry
pretty
about
much
it.
Looking at their phones and crying. no one has, barely anyone even has a cell phone on Derek because they're all working. It's like
they have flip
trying
phones.
To make people's lives better.
Yeah, they have flip phones.
They
have
flip
Twitter, phones. But that's it. And they have Twitter in such a cute way.
Oh, it's adorable Twitter.
Yeah, such a cute Twitter.
One of the cutest use of Twitter in any show, I'd say. But, I mean, how horrifying and insulting and just, like, completely insane that show could have been, it is everything but. It is, like, the exact opposite. Like, I can't stand Ricky Gervais. Like, I think he's become much too outspoken in terms of his, like, atheism. Etc. Etc.
You think?
But I believe so. I think he's like become too militant and is so like smug about it that I can't really take it anymore. Even though I completely agree with him, like it's all a lie. But,
is this from your experience with him on Twitter or like on TV?
Well, both. I'd say it's a combination of both. I've long muted him on Twitter. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
But the
yeah,
show should be insulting, and it's very, 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 very self-aware of how it could go wrong, and it does everything right instead.
Yes.
My recommendation is Flesh and Bone. Have you seen this show?
No.
It's a show on Stars, I believe. Stars. I just watched the pilot.
Oh, damn. I don't have that. Give me your login.
She, you know, it's free, so the pilot's up. It's only two episodes so far, but the pilot is free
okay.
now on stars.com. But
okay.
it's about a young girl who runs away from home and joins a prestigious ballet company in New York.
Okay.
It's basically
Juilliard?
It's basically if Black Swan was a TV show.
Ooh.
But it's a, you know, it has a fully formed world, and its central character is very interesting. The show is almost entirely women. Obviously, there's like a few male dancers and the guy who runs the company. But besides that, it's like a very much a show about hyper-competitive women, which is fun.
Okay.
And a nice change. And it's shot beautifully, and it's a New York show that really does New York right. I think like my favorite depiction of New York in like recent media is Whiplash.
Yeah.
Because it shows like none, you never see anything but like this one scaffolded building that he's like going in and out of in his apartment. Like that's kind
right.
of what it's like to live in New York. Like all the monuments that tourists go and see are now like backdrop to you and you don't even notice them. They're not a part of your life or your furniture.
Right. Yeah, you're
and
right.
Whiplash does that so well, especially for like a focus character, and it seems like this show does it too.
Cool. What's it called? Flesh and Bone?
Flesh and Bone. It's about, yeah, ballet dancers in New York.
Why? Because they're all anorexic?
There's a really, well, it's like, because it's on Stars, it's a little racy. There's like blunt nudity and sex scenes and stuff within the first 10 minutes. And
okay.
one of the ballet girls comes into the locker room and she's naked and she's just holding her hand over her vagina and she says, like, I just got my period. And a girl looks at her and goes, ew, you still get your period?
Oh my God.
So the show is very candid about, like, them all being anorexic and having, like, eating disorders and basically psychological issues because of the intensity of being a high-stakes ballet dancer.
Right.
But highly recommended. It's very, very well done, at least from the one episode I saw. And also, you know, watch The Nick. It's fucking amazing.
I love The Nick.
The Nick is so good. But The Nick is so good, it's almost boring to talk about. Like,
Is there season two on yet?
Season two is on right now.
Okay, I don't have Cinemax, so I have to wait.
You can't steal your parents' account?
They don't have it either.
What?
We don't have Cinemax or Stars. We have Showtime and HBO.
These are all easily torrented from various Googleable websites. But then, you sacrifice the quality.
Yeah, that's fine. I hope I don't get bugs.
Is that it? We recommend Derek, The Nick, and Flesh and Bone. Is there a fourth you wanted to add?
Yes. I wanted to ask you about Sense8.
Sense8 is incredible. It was probably, it'll be on my top five of the year list. I think it's an absolutely amazing show.
Wow.
But I am very, very, very biased toward the Wachowski siblings. I love everything they do, including Jupiter Ascending, so I'm probably not the best person to ask.
Okay. I liked it a lot. It's not that I didn't like it, but the ending got, like, a little weird for me. But I liked the idea of it, and I thought that it was done really well, and I liked all the characters, and I feel like I learned a little bit.
Totally. I don't know if there's ever been as ambitious a show, which is, I think it's worth watching it just for that fact.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally maybe the most ambitious televisual undertaking of all time. There's, like, 80 different settings, and these characters have to connect across continents and worlds and times and bodies.
And they really shot it in all those countries, right?
They really did, yeah. And, like, how many shows even, like, acknowledge that Mexico City or... I can't remember the African character is from Ghana, Sierra Leone.
Yeah, Ghana, I think.
Maybe, I can't remember. But, like, that these countries exist is, like, not even on the map for most shows. And this is, like, just one part of eight of that show.
Yeah, it was great. Did you write about that one?
I did not. I read a very, 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 very smart write-up of it in The New Yorker, and then I felt like I didn't have anything to add, so I couldn't write about it. But I'll happily forward that to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to plug before we sign off? Any appearances you have coming up? Other podcasts?
I wish. I will be in... Brooklyn this Saturday with Slam Pacheco.
Fun.
I'm not really sure what we're going to get into yet, but are you going to be home for Thanksgiving?
I will not. I will be home for Christmas, though.
Oh.
Boo,
okay. Because I'm going to go to that River City, that last River City.
I know. I'm very sad I'm missing it.
Yeah.
I did get to see them, though, before they broke up. So.
Yeah, that was so it's like, they're going to be there.
I'll watch the live stream on YouTube.
Okay, I'll save it for you.
Yeah, take a video for me.
Okay.
But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Carmen. I miss you.
I miss you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, see ya.
Good night.